Today we're celebrating the 68th anniversary of the church. About 10 years ago, we moved it to the last Sunday in August because August 5th is the initial date, but so many people were gone on vacations and stuff, it was just hard to do it at that time, and so we moved it to the last Sunday of the month. And today, we're going to be giving out throughout the morning service or whatever, when you pick them up over here on the stand, a copy of Dr. Hobbs' booklet on soul winning, the Father's business. He did a series of messages back in 1986. And when Roger and I graduated from BJ, we came back and we were in the print shop. And we had several jobs that were waiting for us when we got back. And one of them was printing this little booklet. And a tremendous series of messages that have been put together. And so as a gift to you today on this anniversary, I want you to take this. I hope you'll take time to read it because it expresses the burden that Dr. Hobbs had and especially the burden for this ministry, that we would be doing the Father's business, that we would truly be fishers of men. And today I'm going to begin today and for the next several Sundays in our adult Sunday school class, we're going to be looking at this matter of fishing for men. Fishing for men. And I've called it deep sea fishing. How many of you have ever been deep sea fishing? All right. I've done both. I've been along the side of the shore. My boys and I every once in a while would get out and go out in Blackwater Bay and do some fishing out there. And it's enjoyable. When you're out in the bay, it's not too bad. It's never really too choppy. Further you go out toward the main body of water, it gets a little choppy. But when you're along the shore, it's fine. You sit there and just cast away. But when you get out 30, 40 miles offshore, it's a whole different ball game. All right. Now, on the videos that they show at Destin, they have all of these ads on Visit Destin. They show deep water, deep sea fishing as something wonderful. Right, Mr. Woods? I've heard some of the stories of some of the men that went out deep sea fishing, and most of them were doing the Technicolor yawn over the side of the boat because it was just up and down and up and down and so forth. And then you've got trolling lines out there, and you're so sick you don't even care whether you catch a fish or not. And that's the side of deep sea fishing that we don't like. But isn't it interesting in Luke chapter 5 that that's what the Lord told the disciples to do, launch out into the deep. And so I've entitled this series Deep Sea Fishing because I want to bring out some thoughts from this passage of Scripture that the Lord brings out to His disciples. I want to begin reading it, Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now that's the Sea of Galilee, that's another name for it. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were got out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, that's significant right there, that one thought. We've worked all night long. And if you've ever been fishing overnight, I've done it a few times where I've been out there at Fort Pickens until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning fishing all night long. And then you come back in, and the last thing you want to do is go right back out there in the sun and go fishing again. You want to go to sleep. And that's how they felt. But said, nevertheless, you are bidding us to go, we will go. And they beckoned unto their partners, verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth. Now this is important to understand the context of this passage. From henceforth thou shalt catch, everybody say it please,
men.
From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And why did they follow him? Because he had bid them to come and to catch men with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing upon the Word of God. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we're living in very difficult times when witnessing to people is not an easy thing. So many of them could care less. Others are combative. They're not interested in the truth, and they want us to know that they don't appreciate it. And then, Father, there's just the long-haul ministry of just ministering to children, having to overcome the home lives of so many of them that are focused on self, focused on things of this world, and no focus at all on things eternal. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to launch out into the deep. Help us to understand what you're witnessing to those all around us, not concerned about what they're going to say, but more concerned about showing them their need for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the master fisherman. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to focus some thoughts here and kind of lay the context of what the Lord Jesus is doing. He's about to call these fishermen into full-time service with him. This ministry is only going to last 3.5 years where they're physically with him. All right? That's all it's going to last. That's the only exposure they're going to have to him physically is for 3.5 years. They're going to leave their daily work at the Sea of Galilee of fishing for fish, and they're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to fish for men. And I want us to see here that the Lord Jesus Christ was there at the Sea of Galilee, and what was he doing? What was he doing there? He was fishing for men. For we find there that he was speaking to the people, and they had pressed upon him to hear what? The Word of God. And as they were pressing upon him, the Lord Jesus looks and he sees the boats out there in the water. The fishermen are gone. They're on the shore cleaning their nets out. But he sees the boat, and so he says, let me launch out a ways, and he begins to speak to them and witness to them. And then when he's done, he begins to speak to those men that would soon become his disciples, followers of him. And he teaches them a very big, important lesson that all of us need to learn. And that is the work of reaching the lost is not an easy work. It never has been easy. The work involves a net, not a fishing line and a hook. Now, I've emphasized this from time to time, but I think it's important. Never in the Scriptures, and especially in the Gospels, is the fishing with a line and a hook. That implies what? Deception. That implies deception. When we go fishing out here on Blackwater River and we're fishing for smallmouth bass, I'm trying to deceive that fish that I can't see down in the black water to come and bite that cheap plastic hook from Dick's Sporting Goods. All right? I'm hoping that as I'm pulling it across the top of the water there, that smallmouth's going to come up there, hit it, and I'm going to pull him in. And I'm going to have some bass to eat. But I have to use what? Deception. Now, you can't catch mullet with a hook and a line. All right? You have to catch them with a net. I remember my brother Doug used to make nets. He learned how to do it from the barber that we went to as kids. And cast net fishing used to be a really big thing. You would see people. But I want to tell you, every time I've been cast net fishing, it about beat me to death when you're trying to learn how to do it. Some of the men took us out, Roger and I, one time, cast net fishing. And I remember we had a couple of nets, and they were smaller nets, thankfully, because we weren't that big. And we would cast those things out, and we would try to get those things to spin outward, holding the string in your teeth and hoping that you didn't jerk out every tooth in your mouth, and trying to catch mullet that were coming in to shore. It wasn't easy. Then when you got the net out and you had to pull it in, then you had to, whatever you caught, you had to pull out of the net, and then you had to clean the nets whenever you were done, because when you cast out in the bay out there, there is all kinds of seaweed and trash and things of that nature. It was a workout. It was a workout. Even when you're going and you're fishing for cut bait, and you have to go out there and cast the net, it's not easy to do that. And catching all those little fish that are just sitting there in the net just doing this, and you're trying to empty them out, and they're just flopping all over the place, and you're trying to gather them up, it's not an easy thing to do. I would much rather sit on the edge of the shore with a little hook and bait. You can sit up in the shade a little bit, you know, and or even put a pipe down in the ground, put the fishing pole there, and lounge back in the... That's the kind of fishing that we like. Right? That's the kind of fishing we like. We like to just go out there, maybe take the boat out along the shore, troll along, you know, and you got your cooler beside you. It's got, you know, drinks in it, and you got your snack bag that you got along with. That's great. But when you go out net fishing, it's not like that. You're out in the deep water, and you're pulling the nets in, and then you got to get all those nets on board with all the fish. And it's described here as a process. They loaded the one boat with fish, and they beckoned their other friends to come, and they loaded that boat, and they were about to sink. They brought the fish ashore, and Peter falls down before the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "I'm a sinful man." Why did he say that? Why did he say that? I want to bring out some points here as we study this passage of Scripture. I want to bring out some points here because there's some tremendous lessons. This is all about fishing for men. This is not Jesus' tips for fishing. All right? I can see, and there have been some, Jesus' tips on fishing, in little booklets and so on. That's not what this is about. He brings them down. He said, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Not going to use deception. Not going to use a hook and bait and a fishing pole. Net fishing. That's where we catch. You don't have any doubt. When you cast a net out, you have no idea if you're going to catch anything. You know how many times you throw a cast net and you pull it in, there's nothing but seaweed? You didn't catch a thing. Be out there for hours in the sun, throwing that thing out there again, let it settle down, and then you pull the rope in. Nothing. Go out there and do it again. Or if you're doing the type net fishing that they do out in the Gulf, or out in the shallows of the Sound out there, or that they go out in the Gulf or whatever, and they use those big nets, it's not easy to do that. It's work. And this is the emphasis that our Lord Jesus Christ placed upon this ministry. When you're catching men, it's not going to be easy. It's not sitting with your Coke on one side and your fishing pole in the pipe and you're out in your lawn chair. That's not the kind of fishing that's described here. And I want you to see that. Let's go on. Witnessing for Christ when it seems pointless. What have the men done all night long? They had fished. And what did they caught? Nothing. Not a thing. And now Jesus comes to them and says, "Let's launch out into the deep and put your nets out for a draught." Now the word draught implies nets full of fish. And Peter just says, "This is pointless." You know, the best time to fish is at night. In the Sea of Galilee, I don't know when the best time. Usually, fishing time, the fish start running early in the morning or late in the evening. That's whenever they get hungry and they start coming in to feed on other things. But, you know, in the sea, they said, at night, that's the best time for us to do it. And you're telling us to go out? This is daytime. We've just cleaned our nets. Go out in the daytime and we're supposed to go fishing now? That seems to me to be pointless. We're just going to fail again. The event recorded here is rich with instruction. The disciples had been fishing all night, caught nothing. Jesus tells them, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Peter says, it's pointless because we've been fishing all night long. But how does Peter respond? Nevertheless, because you've said to do it, we'll do it. Now let's stop for just a moment. I've been involved in Christian education now almost 34 years. I want to tell you something, it gets harder and harder. It's harder than it was 34 years ago. Because back in those days, in early days, you would have parents that would come in and they would say, my boy gives any trouble, you've got permission to spank him. Yeah. That's the way it used to be in America. All right? And you took them into the office area and you paddled the kids or whatever. Usually it was a positive response that came out. And the kids went back and we went back to education. We went back to learning. But we're living in a completely different age when it comes to kids, when it comes to parenting. Really, most parents are totally unfit these days to parent. Unless they've been in a Bible-preaching church where they've had the Word of God, most parents don't have any idea about what parenting is all about. That you're preparing a soul for eternity. That concept is missing totally in most homes. It's just, I gotta get them through high school. If I get them through high school, they can do whatever they want to do. And that's not preparing for eternity. That's just preparing to get out of the house so we can go do our thing. That's not what parenting is about. And so the job, the task, and our teachers know this, it gets more difficult increasingly every year to do the job of ministering to children. And I would imagine, after talking with many administrators and so forth, it's getting harder and harder to find people that want to do that. Getting harder and harder to find people that want to do that. That want to minister in a Christian school especially. Day after day, dealing with situations and parents. Now, listen, I don't want to paint a purely negative thing because the Lord Jesus told us it was going to be hard. Previous years, it may have been a little bit easier. Boy, you could sit beside some child at their desk and witness to them. They trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We had three that made professions of faith over the past 2 weeks in school. And we're rejoicing. Three! Three! Oh, we'd love to see every one of them. 291 students. See them all trust Christ. But it's tough fishing. Tough fishing. Casting out the net. Pulling it back in. One here, one there. This is the picture that Jesus Christ gives to the disciples. Launch out into the deep and lower your nets. I want us to think for just a moment here. Look at that net. Okay, I got this off the internet. This is in, I believe that this was in Egypt, right on the shores of Egypt. They were out there, and look at all those fish. Boy, that's amazing. I've been cast fishing a few times. I've never gotten anything like that. Anybody here had a net that full? Yeah, I don't think you see too many like that, but they got their net because they'd pulled it in. They had it spread out over a long area, pulled it all in, and this is what they got. They can't handle the haul. That's what Peter dealt with. Launch out into the deep. I want to talk about shallow water fishing and deep water fishing. I don't know how far we're going to get with this today because I want to emphasize a point here. But it's always easier to do shallow water fishing. Now, what do I mean by that? Shallow water fishing, there's very few waves. All right? There's very few obstacles. You can actually, if you're pulling along in our shallow rivers and streams and so forth, you can jump out just about any location and walk alongside of your boat, your canoeing or your boating or whatever. But, shallow water fishing is fairly easy. The challenges are not as great. Have you ever cast out a hook and it got caught on a log or something? And there's been a few times where I've done that, and I've walked out there and I found it and unhooked it and came back on shore. That's easy to do. Or when it's too far out, too deep, you just break the line and put on another hook. shallow water fishing, close to the shore. It's not deep. If something happens, I can make it back to shore. How? Easily. I can make it back to shore. Closer to home and friends, less stressful, less challenging. I've talked from time to time to different mission directors. They'll call in from time to time, tell us about a missionary coming through or whatever, and they talk about the dwindling numbers. Candidate schools, they used to fill them up, have auditoriums full of candidates going to the mission field. Now, one picture that was sent to me of our candidate school this year, they had six people that were in there, gone through candidate school, going out to the mission, said, the numbers are not like they used to be. Why is that? Why is that? I'll tell you what I think, all right? And I'll just be honest with you. We got the shallow water fishing mentality, all right? Close to home, less challenges, easier. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to stay close to home. The number of people returning from the fields and coming back to the States and doing different things. I'm not saying that God doesn't always lead. I'm not God. I don't know hearts. But I do know that a lot of times the challenges are tough, it's not easy, and they get back in the boat and come back to shore. All right? Now, I want you to keep that in mind. Because remember what Jesus was asking Peter to do. He did not say, Peter, just push the boat out about 30, 40 feet, all right, and throw your nets out. For the most part, if they'd thrown their nets out, you'd seen them piled up above the water because it was too shallow. He didn't tell them to do that. What did he say? Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. I had the privilege of being in the Philippines, and I've been talking back and forth with a brother there that we stayed with. And they just did a deep water challenge. Two churches came together, two missionary plant churches. They said, we want to be able to plant another church in a very difficult area to fishermen on the Philippine coast. Very difficult group to work with. Most of them live offshore on these little bamboo-created huts on the water. And they lower their nets down from there. They catch their fish. They pull them up. They bring the boats in. They drop the fish in the boat. And they just live out there in those little huts. And then they make their way into shore from time to time. And they're wanting to start a ministry with that. And they were talking about how hard it was going to be to minister to the fishermen because they're very hard people. They have a hard life. And I couldn't help but think about that. Deep water fishing requires more work, more intensity of labor. And I think about our ministry here, and I think about people that are serving the Lord in all places around the world. In many places, there's a lot of deep water fishing that's going on. The challenges are much greater. And oftentimes what happens is we get to the point we're not seeing the numbers, we're not seeing people coming to Christ, so we're going to quit. It seems pointless. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ said, I want you to launch out. You have to go out further than you want to go. That's what Jesus was saying in essence. Peter, get in your boat. Launch out into the deep water. That's the places you don't want to go. That's the areas that's going to require more work. You know how hard it is to be out in a boat trying to pull a net in? Boats rocking back and forth and you're trying to pull the net in. Now maybe they had a more stable boat situation, I don't know, but it's not easy when you're hanging over an edge trying to pull it. It's hard work. It's not easy. Reaching the souls of children and adults is not an easy task. And it means going outside of your comfort zone to do it. That's the idea of deep water fishing. Going outside your comfort zone. There are many people in your circle of friends that perhaps you've never witnessed to. You've never brought a gospel message to them. And sometimes we have all kinds of excuses. Well, we talked to them once about 10 years ago, and they were negative toward it. So, I'm not gonna do it again. I'll never forget. This just happened in the last couple of years. I saw a fella that used to have his kids in our school way back in the late 80s, early 90s. And this fellow was unsaved. The wife had asked me to stop by and witness to him. And I said, I'd be glad to. So I left after school, and I went over to the house. She was there, and he was there. And I knocked on the door, and he came to the door. And I said, yes, I'm Todd Brainerd. I teach your youngest sons. He said, I know who you are. I said, yes, I just wanted to know if you have a few moments of your time that I could just talk to you about the things of the Lord. I'd like to share with you a gospel message. And he said, I know who you are. Leave. Wham! Door went shut. Now, I'd never had a door slammed in my face before. So I left. It wasn't long before my phone was ringing and the wife was calling in tears. Mr. Brainerd, I'm so sorry how my husband treated you. I thought that perhaps he would be open today for having you come. I'm so sorry. I said, don't worry about it. I'll put him on my prayer list. So I made it my point every time he came up to the school to go shake his hand. Shake his hand. I said, I'm Mr. Brainerd. I know who you are. I know who you are. You know, don't you love it? I know who you are. Just get out of my face type thing. 3 years ago. Hadn't seen him in a long time. He showed up at a pre-tee game. Grandson playing. Okay? So I walked up to him. I said, hey, do you remember who I am? He looked at me and said, you're Todd Brainerd. I said, yes, sir, it's good to see you. Hadn't seen you in a long time. He said, well, we're still in the area. We live over in Pace now. He actually talked to me. And I had a chance to witness to him. It was open. It only took 16, 17 years, 18 years. But you know what? I don't know whether he'll ever trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't seen him back out here since that one season. Maybe the boy lost interest in T-ball after pre-tee. I don't know. I have been praying for him all these years, though. I've been praying for him. I'd love to see him come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's deep water fishing. Deep water fishing, people not interested, but they still need to hear the gospel. Some of you have family members perhaps that are lost. You've got to stay with it. You got to keep praying, and you got to keep living the right kind of life, and you got to be a witness to them. You got to bring up eternity. You got to bring up eternity. You got to reach those grandchildren. You got to reach the family members that are lost. You got to reach out. Now, remember who the master fisherman is. Not us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've got to be there to give a witness and testimony to that. Let's move on. You have to be in a place you don't want to be. Deep water danger. How many of you have ever watched The Deadliest Catch? Anybody ever watched that program? I've watched it like once or twice. And it shows them out, middle of the night, pulling in their nets. Stormy. I mean, waves crashing up over the boat, and they're trying to pull those nets in, and they're bringing that fish in, and they're putting it down in the hold of the ship. And over again, boy, the young guys that are on the ship, they over and over said, boy, I wish I wasn't here right now. I wish I wasn't here right now. As one of them rushes over there to throw up over the side of the ship. Danger! It's not easy. I want to tell you something, folks. The longer we live, the more dangerous it is for us to be a witness and testimony for Christ. We're going to see the day eventually where there's going to be jail time for preachers. We're going to see that day. It's already happened up in Canada. It's happened in England where someone was out preaching and someone got offended. And next thing you know, they're getting led away to the police station in cuffs because they offended somebody by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's danger that's involved with that. There's danger that's involved in reaching souls for Christ. But you got to launch out into the deep. You have to face fear squarely. You have to go out even when you have failed before. Now, this is the point that the Lord Jesus Christ makes to these men, go back out. We were just out there all night long. We didn't catch a thing. It's pointless. Nevertheless, since you said for us to go, we'll go back out there. And boy, what did the Lord do? He showed them where the fish were. He showed them where the fish were. There are many people in places around the world that are seeing many souls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the ministry there in Jamaica. They're seeing the Lord do a great work in hearts and lives. It's not an easy work, is it, brother? No, it's a challenge. It's a difficult challenge. You reach a child perhaps with the gospel, and then you have to deal with the parents that want nothing to do with their child trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They'll cooperate as long as their child's getting a good education, but if you start getting too religious, we've had that told to me. Y'all are just too much emphasis on this gospel type thing, you know. We just don't want that. We're going to go to a private school that doesn't emphasize that so much. We have to keep doing what God called us to do, and that's fishing for souls. We have to launch out into the deep. Time is slipping away. Some thoughts at this point. There is no failure to a man who enjoys fishing. You know, it's an amazing thing. When you go out on the river, you see a lot of other fishermen that are out there, and some of them are old. Some of you know Dale here in town. Dale coached for many, many years. He's retired now. I just saw him this past week. I said, Dale, he's a Christian, loves the Lord. And I said, Dale, I said, when was the last time you went fishing? Yesterday. Now, he lives on Blackwater River. Said, yeah, my grandsons were over. We were babysitting. And he rolled his eyes. We were babysitting. And he said, I said, let's go get out on the boat. We're going to go mullet fishing. So he loaded up his grandkids and took them out. He said, I'm teaching them how to do cast net and running nets for catching fish. And we talked for just a little bit as he was sharing about that. And I said, Dale, don't you hate fishing now? I mean, you've been doing it for 50 years. Don't you? Oh, he said, I love it. I love it. So, well, how about whenever you go fishing, you don't catch anything? He said, there's always tomorrow. And that's why I wrote this statement up here. There is no failure to a man who enjoys fishing. People that love fishing will go out day after day, whether they catch anything. Well, I didn't catch anything today, but we'll go out tomorrow. The point is this. Do you love what God's told you to do? Do you love what He's told you to do? Now, wait a minute, you know. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, Matthew chapter 4 says. I don't know if I love that. Listen, the souls of men for the glory of God. More souls that He draws unto Himself to bring glory to His name for all eternity. We have to get out there and we have to do the job. We have to be fishing for men. A man cannot fail without his own consent. A man cannot fail without his own consent. Well, this is a thought that is very important. It's not original with me, but S.D. Gordon said this. He was a preacher way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he emphasized this point. You're a failure when you decide you're one. You're a failure when you decide you're one. I went out golfing the other day with Brian, and I didn't do too good. I got a few drives in, and I got a few putts in. I hadn't been out golfing in for a while, and he's out there stroking them around the thing, and I'm trying to keep out of the woods. I did hit a neighbor's fence, and I lost one ball in the woods somewhere. I don't know what happened. I tried to wrestle a squirrel for it, but he won. And, you know, it's easy to get frustrated at the game of golf, all right? But you have to look at it differently, all right? You haven't been out for a while. Let's just go out and enjoy the evening. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. And got to enjoy the being outside and so forth like that. But I could have just easily just said, we're out of here after hole one. I stunk it up out there. We had to do a mulligan because I did a whoop, you know, one of those slices off to the side. I put the ball back on the tee. Oh, that felt good. That went out there. And then it was just chip, chip, miss, dig a rut. And we finally made it up on the green. All right? And I said, Brian, I said, if this is the way it's going to be, I said, I'd just soon just drive it back over there and let's get in the truck and go back home or go get us something to drink or something like that. But no, we just kept on going and things started getting better. All right? I could have just packed it up, loaded up the truck, and headed back to the house after hole number one. But we kept on playing. We played 9 holes. We didn't play 18 because I just couldn't handle the frustration of doing another 9. But we played 9 holes together, and we had a good time of fellowship together. We got to have some dad and son time and enjoy the beautiful weather and had fun driving around on the golf cart looking for golf balls and so forth like that. But I could have declared myself a failure. I'm done. I'm going home. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that in churches all across the world. I'm done. I'm not going to take the rejection anymore. We have a responsibility to keep going for the Lord. Every seeming failure is the seed of coming success to a man who enjoys fishing. Did you get that? This is so important. I've read this so many times about Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison had a lot of failures. His mind was going night and day with all kinds of ideas of things that he wanted to make. He made a phonograph, made an electric light bulb, but it took him 10,000 tries before he finally got one that would work. And he was interviewed by the New York Post. By the way, he had a laboratory here in Florida that he did a lot of work at, retired down this way, and was doing that. He was interviewed by the New York Times, and he said, "You've had a lot of failures." He said, "I've had more failures than successes." He said, "My mom and dad taught me something when I was very small. You don't quit. If you have a vision and you can see what it looks like at the end, you just keep going no matter how many failures you have. You just keep on. You just don't quit." And that's what you and I have to do. We have to say, even when it seems pointless, "Lord, I don't want to do this anymore." Just keep on going. Keep on being a faithful witness and testimony to the Lord. We're almost done. Our time's just about up. Failures often cause people to get discouraged. The best course is to refuse the safe, easy course. Get back to fishing in the areas that have been neglected. Get back into fishing in areas that have been neglected. You never know. It may be that God will use you to water the seed just at the right moment. And you may be able to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ that somebody else had been witness doing for a long, long time. We've got to get out and do the work that God's called us to do. We've got neighbors, we've got friends, we've got family members that are lost. And they're going to die and go to hell. And you don't know when they're going to die. I mentioned last week, my wife and daughter's hairdresser died suddenly, a Christian lady. And a lady who, if you found her with low spots, she was always reading her Bible, kind of person that she was. And she went home from work, sat down in her chair, and she went off into glory. Just like that. No warning signs, no sicknesses, just like that, gone into eternity. You don't know. You can't plan. That's why we got to be faithful in the work of deep water fishing. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, dear Father, for the emphasis of this passage. You were calling men from the world of fishing for fish to fishing for men, mankind, to reach them with the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts to help us to understand the big picture, that you are the master. You're the one that calls souls unto yourself, but it's our responsibility to plant the seed and to water the seed, and you'll give the increase. But if we're not planting and we're not watering, then the work's not going to get done as you desire to have it done. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, and may we have the burden for souls that we ought to have, and not just a burden, but an actuality of getting out there and witnessing to those co-workers that are lost, witnessing to those neighbors that are in our neighborhood that we've known for years that we've never asked them about their eternal soul. We never ask them if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We talk about everything under the sun but the truth of the gospel. I pray that you'd help us to get over that and to do what's right by these people that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray your blessings now upon our services today, upon our fellowship together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.